Welcome to this episode of Horrific History and Hauntings. I'm Beth.
And I'm Ramey. We're your hosts, here to talk about the stories that the history books ignore.
From horrific epidemics and ghostly hauntings to the catastrophes and tragic events that have sickened humanity.
Indeed. Well, what happened today in history, Beth? Or do you want to tell us what we're doing first? How do you want to do that?
Well, we're going to be doing a Hauntings and Legends Across America. The today in history is kind of short. It's pretty much there was a rumor that the song
gossip.
Yeah. That the song Louie Louie had dirty lyrics. I don't know why. I don't even know what they say besides Louie Louie. But apparently parents complained because they thought it had dirty lyrics, and so the FBI investigated it in 1964.
Oh, the 60s.
And by May 17th, 1965, the FBI decided the mumbled lyrics were impossible to understand. And the investigation ended. What a waste of FBI time.
First time I ever heard that song, it was on the movie Down Periscope. You never seen it? It's a really good one. What a waste of taxpayer money.
Yep. Very much so.
Even if it was true, it was a waste of taxpayer money.
Yeah. Like, why are you worried about it when today we have songs like WAP? Yeah. So, Pennsylvania is the state we're at, and we're going to talk about Hillview Manor.
Never heard of it.
Me neither.
I heard of House on Haunted Hill and Blythe Manor, but never Hillview Manor.
I like the Haunting on Hill House. But it's located on a hill in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, and it's a facility that started as a working farm and home for the poor, elderly, and mentally ill.
Only if they can work.
Yeah. Upon its opening in 1926, 20 residents immediately moved in, though it was designed to hold 110 people within its three wings. Residents were segregated by gender. The west wing was for men, while the east was for the women. The central wing provided essential living such as laundry, kitchen, hospital, and it's also where the staff housing was located. It also included, outside of the wings, a bomb shelter and a cemetery, and as it was intended for, there was a working farm. And to give you an idea of how the residents or patients were treated while living in the facility, one source I found stated that the staff referred to those living there as inmates rather than calling them residents.
That is
jail.
Yeah. Why? I wonder if they were hired from a jail.
I don't know. In 1977, the county expanded the facility with a three-story addition called One North. This provided space for 30 more residents, and it was intended to house individuals who needed more care while the original wings were for those who could live more independently.
So they need help to live, but you're going to put them on the farm. What?
Over time, the facility shifted its focus to primarily house the elderly. So, of course, death was inevitable because, you know,
elderly,
old people, there comes death eventually. Though the causes of death wasn't limited to just old age. Several of the residents committed suicide while living on the property. You know, with death and tragedy comes ghost stories and the claims of paranormal activity.
Yes.
On February 6, 2004, Hillview Manor shut down due to financial difficulties.
You had free labor and you still shut down.
The visitors to Hillview Manor have reported seeing full body apparitions, hearing doors slam, disembodied voices, and witnessing objects move on their own.
Particularly the hoes and rakes.
They also
getting flung across the room. That's how I'd be.
Yeah. If I was the spirit, that's what I would be doing. Making me do manual labor.
Maybe they enjoyed it. I know a lot of my older relatives love the garden.
Yeah. I've been enjoying trimming up my rose bushes and
getting woke up at the break of dawn in your 80s to go.
Oh, no, I ain't waking up at the break of dawn for that. They've also described hearing scratching sounds, rattling pipes, and banging. One of Hillview Manor's most famous ghosts is a little boy named Jeffrey. I don't know how they came up with this story of Jeffrey, because it says, according to legend, seeing him means you are going to die soon.
But they had to write quickly. Yeah. Get the word out. It's like The Ring.
There's little Jeffrey just killing people off. Another spirit said to haunt Hillview Manor is Eli. He reportedly died at the age of 64 in the broiler room in December 1934. And he's said to linger in the basement and aggressively attempt to force people out.
The boiler room.
Yeah, I guess it's in the basement.
Well, I don't know. I figured it would have been in the oven. You called it the broiler room.
That's what it said. Broiler.
What? Boiler room.
No, broiler, like Freddy Krueger.
That's a boiler.
That's a broiler room.
Are you serious?
I'm pretty sure. Let me see. Yeah, Nancy meets Freddy in the broiler room in the nightmare.
Broil is what you do in an oven.
Oh, no, it says boil.
All this time, every time you... Broil is... I'm like, surely I ain't the one that's been wrong. The boiler rooms exploded on the Titanic. They didn't... The broiler rooms didn't do anything. They don't exist.
So, boiler. Now, that was my stupidity.
For how many decades?
I'm 30. Freddy Krueger was one of my first...
Yeah.
To watch movies ever.
She did used to call Jingle Bells Jingle Bees, so we can overlook, you know, this.
Well, you learn something every day.
Yeah.
Rhode Island is next. We're going to talk about the Ladd School.
Sounds homoerotic.
L-A-D-D.
Oh.
The Ladd School in Exeter, Rhode Island, which started with only 8 patients in 1909, at the time was...
It's a school?
Kinda.
Oh, they are so misleading.
Yeah. At the time, it was called the Rhode Island School for the Feeble-Minded.
No!
But obviously, the name was later changed to the Ladd School because the former one was offensive. It was a remote farm colony where children and young adults with disabilities were sent to learn practical skills.
Now, that sounds good.
They were sent there to receive an education that would help them become more productive members of society. However, Dr. Walter Fernald, who started the institution, was also known as a eugenist.
Oh,
eugenicist.
No. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of episodes of Sawbones that cover this if you want to hear more.
Yes, I actually had to look it up. I had no idea what it meant.
You should listen to Sawbones, Medical Tour of Misguided Medicine.
It's pretty much he supported the idea of improving the human race by controlling people's genes.
Needless to say, this was popular during the Nazi era.
Yeah.
And not just in Germany, obviously. It was popular.
Yeah.
A lot of places. Before the Nazis and after the Nazis.
And
just before.
Yeah. Obviously, they were trying to sterilize. Is that where you can... like
no longer have children,
vasectomies, and
her uncle has mental problems, and the hospital he went to years and years and years ago done it to him.
Yeah, so they were doing that against people's wills.
Yep,
they would pretty much try to tell you who, like, you can't have sexual intercourse because you can't reproduce.
We don't want this problem spreading.
The
point
so
of
today it's mostly agreed by most people this is wrong. It's a wrong way of thinking.
Was the problem with the eugenists, they tend to want to breed out, like, other racial traits.
Yeah, because when people in the past tried to put these ideas into practice, it caused a lot of suffering and a lot of human rights being violated.
Yep.
Within just a few years, the school went from just a few patients to over 365. Over time, they started taking in pretty much anyone who was seen as different or considered undesirable or didn't fit in or just troublesome people in some cases. This began to include the wives whose husbands would just abandon there, and they probably read a book.
Yeah, like that one place they read too many novels and got sanctioned.
Yeah, read a book or healed someone that was sick. I don't know.
Anything could have got you there.
They breathed. It also had unmarried pregnant women.
Now, hold on. It mostly took boys at first, right?
Mostly.
So then you get all these young boys and all these wives.
Yeah.
What are they thinking?
They even began housing some criminals there who didn't fit in with, like, regular prison.
The ones who probably should have been put somewhere else and tried a different way in the first place.
Soon after, the school became overcrowded, and it didn't even have enough money to provide even simple necessities such as dental care. It didn't have a morgue, and it didn't even have recreational facilities. So staff became overwhelmed as well.
I mean, there's nothing for anybody to do. But...
Yeah. In the 1930s, the Providence Journal wrote an article criticizing the Ladd School, and they pointed out that there were no proper hospitals, that the living conditions were awful. The Providence Journal also wrote about the awful living conditions, and they even found out that people were not given any mental health tests before being admitted.
Of course they weren't. Some of them were women.
Yeah.
So they couldn't. They would obviously become sane, and they couldn't have them put in there.
Yeah.
Legally speaking.
After 50 years and lots of scandals, people finally started to investigate the Ladd School in 1958. 50 years. What they found was kids were crammed into rooms, sleeping head to toe on beds that were less than a foot apart. There were also daily beatings for what staff saw as bad behavior, which obviously some of these people had mental illnesses and disabilities, and it probably
wasn't just bad behavior. It was,
There were also reports of verbal abuse.
Ah.
Also, many of the rooms did not have a toilet or a sink.
Okay.
As well as the entire grounds being full of rats and bugs. Pleasant. So a lawsuit revealed all these problems, but the school wasn't ordered to shut down. It even continued operation for 20 more years.
Did they fix the problem? Surely they had to do that.
In 1986, the governor of Rhode Island announced the closure of the Ladd School. However, it took a decade to move all the patients. So it wasn't officially, like, fully closed until the 1990s, after the last person was relocated.
They had to have some place to go.
The school, which has now been demolished, it's just a field now. But before it was demolished, there were urban explorers and such, and stories spread around claiming it was haunted. Some people report hearing moans, screams for help, and there's also been reports of hearing growling and animal sounds coming from the rooms where the patients used to live.
Sounds a little mean-spirited.
They probably, they were being abused, from what I understand.
And yeah.
That's just a small portion of what we...
The ones we know about, yeah.
Well, what I found, so...
I'm not saying they sound animalistic. I'm saying it's like the people on the outside are also judging these poor people. Are from the grave, they're being judged. Or to the grave.
Now we're moving on to South Carolina.
Oh, I can imagine this one being a good one.
It is. It's one of my favorites. It's the legend of the Gray Man. Which,
at least it isn't a lady in white. I don't remember how many states we had that.
Yeah. Well, one of the options was a lady in white. It was like a hotel or something, I believe.
Of course. Yeah.
An inn, maybe. I don't know. But that was one of the options that I'm like, we have so many ladies in white.
Mm-hmm.
This is a man in gray. The legend of the man, Gray Man, on Pawleys Island, South Carolina, was covered in an episode of Unsolved Mysteries, which gave me the perfect excuse to watch that episode because it's one of my favorites.
Is it an older episode or a newer one?
Older.
Okay. There's a whole channel dedicated to that.
Mom used to have the ones with ghosts.
She only kept those.
And, yeah. And that was one of them, was this one.
Hmm.
According to legend, in the summer of 1822, a wealthy man riding his horse to his fiancée's plantation decided to take a shortcut, which led to him falling off the horse into a marsh and being killed. He died just days before their wedding was scheduled.
That's unfortunate.
As a way to process her grief, the fiancée would often take walks on the beach. I remember that anyway.
Now that you mention this, I do remember this. Yeah.
I would do that anyway, whether somebody died or not.
Only in the mornings and the late evenings. I'm not a big sun person.
I'd do it at any time. One afternoon, she saw a shadowy figure that resembled her deceased fiancé. So she rushed towards him.
Uh-oh.
But he disappeared before she reached him.
Okay.
And that night, she dreamed her fiancé was warning her about an approaching hurricane, and he was urging her to evacuate the island. So she took her dream warning seriously. She and her parents left the island the following day, just before a hurricane struck.
Good job.
After the hurricane, they came back to the island and found their property unharmed.
You should have just stayed.
I would take the hurricanes if it meant I got to live near a beach. In 1893, a farmer evacuating Pawleys Island reported encountering the Gray Man. He was trying to persuade the man in gray to leave the island, but the Gray Man just stood there silently.
Who do you think you are, little man?
So the farmer gave up and continued with his evacuation. After the storm, he found that his farm was not damaged.
Fascinating.
Yeah. The year 1954 brought the force of Hurricane Hazel. During this one, 95 people were killed.
Ooh.
Over 1,800 homes were destroyed. Before Hurricane Hazel, a man reported seeing the Gray Man. Like the others, his home was spared during the hurricane to the point his towels that were hanging on the porch rail were still there.
How fast did he leave?
On September 22nd, 1989, Hurricane Hugo made landfall in South Carolina. Its winds was over 145 miles per hour, and it caused at least $5 billion in damages.
That's pricey.
Yeah. As well as the destruction of 9,000 homes. Pawleys Island was practically in ruins. It was practically destroyed. Just 2 days prior to Hurricane Hugo, a couple walking on the beach claimed to have encountered him, the Gray Man, and he vanished as they got within speaking distance. Their home was untouched by Hurricane Hugo, while all the other homes in their neighborhood suffered significant damage.
How many people are just like chilling in their safe space, and then they know a hurricane's coming, but then they see just happen to see a guy in a gray suit nowadays, and they're like, oh, ain't no use.
I would just stay in my house. If the property is not damaged, I wonder if you just stay in it, if it's going to be okay. Somebody should try that.
Some of those things apparently only do jobs that they're supposed to do when nobody's looking, so maybe they have to have people gone.
Maybe.
Which is weird if you get a guardian angel that does nothing but look after your property. There's a few more important things out there.
Yeah. The most recent account I could find of the sighting of a gray man, the Gray Man, was in 2018, before Hurricane Florence.
I don't remember Horror Tune.
But I didn't have any details on that one. So
House might have blown away and it's nobody talked about it.
Yeah. Next up is South Dakota.
Oh.
And it is the Kempeska Monster.
What a name.
Yes.
I bet if I've seen it, I'd recognize it, but I do not know that name.
In 1886, boat builders at Lake Kempeska in Watertown, South Dakota, reported spotting a 20-foot snake-like creature. Initially, their claims were dismissed until days later, when four respected businessmen reported seeing the same creature.
No, that's hardly fair.
Yeah. In 1888, a local fisherman burst into the town's general store like a loon and declared he encountered a 200-foot creature with glowing eyes.
That thing grew.
And he described it as a serpentine leviathan.
That's a scary word.
Yeah.
You hear that and you know large, like huge. I think of that creature from...
The ocean.
Deep Rising.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if I could stream that somewhere.
I've bought it so me and Scott could watch it and he realized how much. I was like, you never watched this? It's a good movie.
It is.
It's like kind of Cthulhu mixed of action, mixed of horror and a different type of horror.
Mm-hmm. That's a good movie. I need to see if I can get that on Amazon or something. So there's no surprise that newspapers started reporting on this creature and making it popular to the point where some people began to try to sell monster repellent.
Oh, no.
One of the sources described this supposed monster repellent as appearing very similar to common lamp oil.
Oh, no. Do not use near open flames.
I wonder if they were just spraying themselves with lamp oil.
Probably.
Light a cigarette. That's awful. I can't believe people.
Nobody asked for a refund after the first time. I mean, if they're lucky, they get to spend a few days in the burn ward, not a cemetery.
Yeah, but that's all I could find about it. And from what I understand, I didn't see anything where this creature was trying to hurt anybody. So why are you trying to repel it? That's all I have.
It's a good episode. I like hearing little tidbits about each state. The Lad Hospital is probably my favorite. Yeah.
But I still like the Legend of the Gray Man. Kind of hard to explain. The Legend of the Gray Man, when you don't have a visual.
Indeed.
But if you go watch that episode, which I found it on YouTube, I don't know if it's because we have the plus version or if it's just free for everybody on YouTube. Yeah, you can find that episode on YouTube and it gives a better
explanation
and spookier because you get to see
a man in gray
stuff. Yeah. So that's just checking
that out. I bet
you
see a lot of hurricane travesty photos.
A couple. It's nothing too bad.
Oh.
But.
Well, that Scott's a Gray Man was there. If you like what you heard here, we have a few other podcasts backlogged. One's Brother Knows Quest. It's a podcast where I tell Beth about a different tabletop role-playing game. And there's Leveling Duo. It's a podcast where me and Beth, or me and my friend Dakota, talk about video games we really enjoy or grew up playing. We have a YouTube channel dedicated to just this podcast here. We have a second YouTube channel that is dedicated to us playing games, like video games. Beth's got a few videos put up there. My friend Dakota also is planning on putting up some videos from Leveling Duo. We have links to all of our socials if you want to reach out there. We have a Facebook group you could join for this podcast in particular. All this is under the umbrella of the Gruesome Gaming Group Podcast Network, GGG.
Did you see the advertisement for the new Doom game?
I love Doom. The medieval one? Doom Dark Ages? Yeah, it's good.
This one looks like it's...
The last three Dooms are good.
I don't know. I thought it... I wouldn't say pretty, but I like, I guess, though.
You should try the last two Dooms. Doom Eternal and Doom.
I tried one of them, but...
Doom 2016?
Kept having to go back to areas I'd already been to pick up stuff to be able to get to the next area.
Oh, keys and things?
Yeah, and that just irritated me.
Was that the old ones, like Doom, like pixelated...
It wasn't pixelated.
Okay, no, then you probably... Doom 3.
I think it was 3.
Okay, no. Doom 2, or Doom 2016, and Doom Eternal, and this newer Doom, quite different than Doom 3. Doom 3 stood out amongst all Dooms as a oddball, because it was a horror game and not a shooter game, really. Mm-hmm. It was my first Doom game, though. I went backwards from there, kind of like I did with Elder Scrolls and Oblivion. Okay, well, all those links, the socials, everything. Oh, there's also a link to a eBay store, Gruesome Gaming General Goods. It's, you know, if you want to help support podcast, it'll be all of this under a Linktree link in the description. You'll also find our website's homepage, which is basically where you can find all of our podcasts, or you can just find it on your podcast app of choice or on YouTube. There's a link below all that. If you want to just send it a tip or a donation, we appreciate it. It helps us keep the podcast hosted. Share, let us know what you think, send in stories, anything you want us to talk about. There's emails below in the description that you could send things to. Talk, just say hi. Or join a Facebook group and do it. We're on TikTok, everything. Thank you for listening. I've been Ramey.
And I'm Beth.
This has been HH&H. Goodbye.